Somebody asked, what's the definition of a good sermon? And they said it should have a great beginning, a fantastic ending, and they should be close together as possible. And I hope you'll find that this morning. So I've been speaking on the subject of our identity. And the reason I went into that was because in today's world that we're living in, there is an identity crisis that's happening. And I think as a church, we need to address some of these things that are happening in our society today. And that's why I actually went into this and I said, God, there is an identity crisis. People do not know who they are. People do not know where they come from. People do not know where they are going. People do not know who they are. Are they male? Are they female? Are they in between? You know, what am I? Who am I? How do I define myself? Where did I come from? Where am I going to? And there are so many things that are happening with regards to identities of people. And last week, we looked at our identity and we realized that many people are not sure because they have exchanged that God-given identity that God has given you and me to that of a world-centered identity. And a world-centered identity revolves around appearance. It revolves around fame. It revolves around fortune, or how much you have, your wealth. And it revolves around fashion. And a lot of the times we look to the world's identity and we fall short. Because I'm not someone like myself. I don't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm aspiring to have six-pack. I have not reached there yet. But God has blessed me with who I am and given me an identity that supersedes how I look or feel or how it's based on the fashion industry. And so I think until we get a perspective of how God sees us, we will always see ourselves as less than who we really are. Can you see that? Because that's what society wants to look at us and say who we are. The fashion world wants to say that on who we are. Why? Because they want to sell more. They want to get more of our money. And so they will try and say, you need to conform. You need to look like this. You need to do these things. You need to dress like this. You need to have an identity of this nature. Then you will be accepted. But God says quite the opposite. And he says, I have given you an identity that is based in me. Our identity, as I said last week, came when God created us in his likeness and in his image. Hallelujah. We carry the DNA and the thumbprint of God. Isn't that amazing? Look at this. The amazing fact is this. Every thumbprint, I said this last week, but this is so crucial. This is how we are unique in our identity, in our creation that God has created us. Every thumbprint that we have is unique, is different to every person on this earth. Imagine that. And you can identify somebody today just based on their thumbprint, correct? You can identify someone today based on their eyes, on their iris. There's something of the DNA of God in us that makes us unique people in that they can. You walk through the gates of an airport today, when you come out of the airport, you go through check-in, or you come out, what do you call that, arrivals lounge, and you look into a camera. And you put your passport there and you look into the camera. And what's that camera doing? It's looking at your eyes, correct? That tells me that God has made us unique. And we are one of the only kind. There's only you. There's no duplicate of you. You are you. Tell your neighbor that. Come on, you can be glad that there is only a you and you are you. Amen? So this morning I'm going to continue on that the theme of our identity, because it's so important for us to grasp this so much in our lives that we can move ahead. When the world tells us something, we can stand on the Word of God and say, no, I know who I am. There's a song who wrote it? Israel Houghton. I know who I am, I know who I am. And I want us to have that in us, that we know that we know that we know who we are. So when somebody tries to confuse us, we say, I know who I am. And I know who I belong to. And I know where I am going. Amen? So the first point here I have is, we need to realize that we have been justified. Now that's quite a big word for those who are not church. But justified means we have been made not guilty. Not guilty. And we have been redeemed. In other words, we have been bought back. To redeem something is where have you heard of when you go to the pawn shop? This, I don't mean P-O-R-N. This is P-A-W-N. You don't attend. You don't go to the P-O-R-N shop. That's a no-go area. Okay? This is when you go to exchange something of value and get some cash back. And then if you want that thing back, that precious thing you're given for safekeeping, you got to go and pay for it, correct? You got to redeem it back. And that's the meaning of redemption. We have been justified, in other words, made not guilty or declared not guilty and redeemed. In other words, bought back through Jesus. Come on. Come on now. You can get excited that you have been not guilty. You have been redeemed or bought back through Jesus. Let's look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. It tells us this. It tells us that we have been justified freely, and that means without any cost to us, by His grace through redemption that is in Christ. The another version says this: yet now God declares us not guilty. Wow. Who declares that? God declares that we are not guilty. Of what? Of offending Him if we trust in Jesus Christ, who in His kindness freely takes away our sins. He freely takes away our sins. We don't have to pay for our sins. We don't have the power to pay for our sins. And we can never, ever pay for our sins. People try that. Many religions have advocate that. That if you do penance, if you cut yourself, or if you go on pilgrimages, or if you make a vow somewhere, or if you travel miles to this place or that place, and if you give so much money to this place, that somehow your sins will be taken away. And that does not happen. Why? Because nobody else died for you except Jesus. And He shed His blood for you so that you can walk free in Him. It says that now God declares us not guilty of offending Him if we trust in Jesus. How many times do you and I get offended when somebody says something or does something? How many times have we offended God? I'd like to see someone who's never offended God. But do you know what God says? I declare you not guilty of that offense because you trust in Jesus Christ, who in His kindness freely takes away our sins. Jesus Christ came to take our punishment for our sin. Jesus took it upon himself on the cross when he died for you and for me. The Bible declares us not guilty of offending Jesus. In fact, Jesus on the cross, he cried out to the Father and he said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive those who have nailed me to this cross. Forgive those who have slapped me across my face. Forgive those who have bruised my back and torn my flesh. Forgive those who have put a crown of thorns on my head. Forgive them, Father, because they do not know what they are doing. That's the love of Jesus. That's what we sang about before. And that's how we can say, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. Now, that's a hard line to say. We cannot say it carelessly. Because when we sing that stance, that lyric there, break my heart, we need to understand what breaks God's heart is people in sin, people who are outside of the kingdom of God. And when we sing that, break my heart for what breaks yours, it is actually saying, God, break me. Let me have a glimpse of what you are going through. Let me have a glimpse of what you are thinking. Let me have a glimpse of how you are loving your loving people who even hate you. And that's what it says. And it's a hard place to be. It's a hard place to come to because not many of us like people who don't like us. Correct? If we were people who loved people who didn't like us, this world would be a better place. But it's a hard thing to not like someone who does not like you. Break my heart for what breaks yours. My prayer is this morning that God will help us to forgive those who have offended us, because God, in his mercy, does not hold an offense against us. He calls us not guilty, in spite of the many times that we willingly or unwillingly offend Jesus in what we say, in what we do, in the way we act, in the way we behave. Praise God for Jesus, who says there in his word, who kindly frees us and takes away our sin. Isn't that amazing? What an amazing God we have. I mean, think about that. In most other religions, they are afraid of their gods. They're afraid that the gods will punish them and brutalize them and mutilate them and, you know, do something horrible. But you know something? Jesus does right the opposite. In spite of who we are, Jesus freely takes away our sin. Here's the second part. The first one is, understand and know that you have been justified, made not guilty, and redeemed. You've been bought back from where? From the power of sin and death. You've been bought back from the domain of sin, from the domain of the vices of the enemy, bought back through Jesus. Here's the second one. The Bible tells us that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it says in that scripture, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now we forget that latter part. We always say there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and we stop there. But if you read that scripture, who do not walk according to the flesh or to the sinful desires, but according to the Spirit of God. And we can say that this morning, that there is no condemnation when we walk according to the Spirit of God and not walk according to the flesh. God calls us not guilty of sin. When he calls us not guilty of sin, he does not condemn us of it. You know who condemns us? We ourselves. Have you noticed that? We often put ourselves down, don't we? We kind of have this self-righteous kind of thing going on, thinking, you know, I need to sound a bit pious or a bit holy. You know, I'm not that good. You know, I'm not that great. You know, I'm not that spiritual and all this sort of thing. And we often condemn ourselves of the guilt that has already been paid for and taken care of by Jesus. And I think that's crazy. I think that's crazy to do that. Because God, through Christ, has already taken care of the guilt. And what happens is we condemn ourselves because we still feel guilty. And so there is something that needs to happen in our lives where we had allowed the Holy Spirit to renew us, to transform us. Our lives are renewed and made holy through the blood of Jesus. And we do not carry the stigma of sin or the condition of sin in our lives. We don't carry it anymore. That's the freedom that comes through knowing Jesus. That's the amazing freedom that comes through knowing only Jesus. It doesn't come through any other means. You can say hallelujah to that. The Holy Spirit never condemns you. He convicts you. He convicts me of what? Of righteousness in us. In other words, when we are not living lives that are pure and holy, acceptable to the Lord, the Holy Spirit prompts us and he convicts us. In John 16 and verse 8, it's if you want a reference for the Bible doesn't condemn you, or the word this God does not condemn you, is Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, if you're writing notes. In John's Gospel 16 and verse 8, it says, he will convict the world concerning what? Concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Three things that the Holy Spirit will convict, bring conviction in the world. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. In John chapter 3 and verse 17, we all know John 3, 16, don't we? But in 17, it tells us that Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He came to save the world through him, not to condemn the world. So our identity comes through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, where he shed his blood. By shedding his blood on the cross, he canceled the penalty or the charges for our sin, for the sin in our lives. And by doing so, he's bought us back from Satan's domain. And his domain was just sin and death. Sin and death to eternal life in him. That's the transference that we see from the domain of the kingdom of darkness or domain of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love, who is Jesus Christ. That is what Jesus did, which no other guru or saint or person ever did. Hallelujah. Nobody else went to the cross except Jesus. Nobody else was willing to suffer all that he went through but Jesus. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loved humanity. He came for humanity. He didn't come to condemn humanity. He came to save humanity. From what? From the power of sin and death that was holding us down. Let's look at the book of Colossians, chapter 1. I love this verse. If you haven't underlined this verse in the Bible, underline it. Colossians 1, verses 13 to 14. You're getting something this morning of the identity we have in Christ. It says this, For God has rescued us out of the darkness and gloom of Satan's kingdom. From what? the darkness and the gloom of Satan's kingdom and brought us into the kingdom of his dear son, verse 14, who paid for our freedom with what? With his blood, and forgave us all, say all our sins. Hallelujah. Who are we to judge ourselves and condemn ourselves and feel guilty when Jesus Christ has rescued us from the kingdom of Satan and brought us into his kingdom and bought us with his precious blood. You are a child of the Most High God. You are a child that carries the royalty, the DNA of Jesus Christ. You are the bloodline of Jesus Christ. You are no inferior person. You are no person who is condemned to defeat and to destruction. No, Jesus Christ has come in and he has given you eternal life. You have an eternal hope. You have an eternal destiny. You have an eternal confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every day when you wake up in the morning, you can declare, Jesus Christ is Lord in my life today, because I know the resurrection power of Jesus is in me. It's not out there. It's in me. And by his power, I'm able to face every situation in my life today, every problem, everything that comes up against me. I have the blood of Jesus that covers me so that no foe can touch me, no enemy can burn me, no enemy can kill me, no enemy can destroy me, because I know who I am, and I'm assured and I believe that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him, to Jesus, until the day that he comes. And I tell you, Jesus is coming again. Here's a third one. We are sanctified. It's another big word that we use, jargon in the Christian language. It means made holy. We are sanctified, made holy in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2 tells us that. We are pure and holy in Jesus Christ. You go, what? Really? How can that be? How can I be pure and holy? I've lived a wretched life. My life is misery. I've done terrible things. But the Bible tells us that through Jesus, when we come to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there is a guarantee that you and I are made holy. People try to make themselves holy by being self-righteous. They try to do crazy things again, you know, by trying to show off, oh, I'm pious. I'm in church. You know, so I got to put on a nice face and look good and look holy and walk reverently. You know, shouldn't say a bad word, shouldn't do anything naughty. We try to make ourselves holy, but we can't never do that. Humanly, it's not possible to make yourself so. Why? Why do I say that? Because sin dwells in us. From the time that Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, everything that was holy and pure was not pure and holy anymore. It was a fallen world, a fallen mankind, fallen humanity. And because of that, God sent Jesus to fix it. So through Jesus, you and I can be holy. I remember a year or so ago, I was preaching on the subject of you are a saint. You don't have to be sainted. What do you call it? Sainted? Declared a saint by the Pope or somebody else. God calls you, tell your neighbor, you are a saint of God. You don't need a halo. You don't need a pedestal. You don't need to be worshipped. You know, God already has declared you as a saint of God, and you got to see yourself as a saint of God. You got to see yourself sanctified, made holy through Jesus Christ. There is no unrighteousness in you. Hallelujah. If holiness were that easy, if it were that easy to get by doing good deeds and doing penance and doing other kind of so-called holy stuff, then society would be in a better place, wouldn't they? They'd be doing better things today. But we know that it's impossible. Only Christ can remove that sinful nature that's in you and me. Only Christ can do that. Why? Because he went to the cross for that very reason. Only he can deal with that sinful nature. And he can bring life. He can bring hope. Praise God. Through Jesus, we have a witness. We have a testimony. You know, that's why whenever we meet someone, we should never be afraid to bring the subject of them coming to know Jesus, of somehow showing them that Jesus loves them. And often that comes through our love and what we do, sowing that seed of love, because we have an amazing message for people today. People who are lost their identity, we have hope. We can give them an identity in Christ Jesus. The major difference between religions of the world and Christianity is this, that Jesus freely gave us freedom from sin and for the effects of sin, and we did not have to pay for it or gain any merits or brownie points to receive it. Hallelujah. It was given freely by his grace, his unmerited favor, just because he loves us. Isn't that amazing? I tell you, we can never stop talking about the love of Jesus. We should never stop talking about the love of Jesus. I want to close with this scripture. Actually, one before this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, it says this: He who, God, made you holy by means of Christ Jesus. How did he make you holy? Through Christ Jesus. Just as he did for all people everywhere who do what? Who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. God makes anyone and everyone holy when they call upon him. That's what it means. When they call upon him, God makes you holy. And here's the last scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. It says this. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. For it is from God alone that you have your life through Christ Jesus. He showed us God's plan. Who? Jesus showed us God's plan of salvation. He was the one who made us acceptable to God. Who? Jesus was the one who made you acceptable to God. He made who? Jesus made you pure and holy and gave himself to purchase our salvation. The whole gospel is beautifully put in that scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Underline it in your Bible. Write it up. For it is God, it is from God alone that you have your life through Jesus Christ. He showed us God's plan of salvation. He was the one who made us acceptable to God. He made us pure and holy and gave himself to purchase our salvation. Hallelujah. Our redemption is a gift. God gave it through Jesus Christ. Our justification, in other words, the declaration of us being not guilty, was given as a gift by Jesus Christ. Our sanctification, in other words, that you and I have been made holy in Jesus, is a gift given by God through Jesus. We all, and all we have to do is purely and simply accept it by accepting Jesus Christ into our lives. I mean, how more easy can it get? And yet in the time of Jesus, people did not see that. Even today, thousands of people cannot see the love of Jesus. The moment you talk about Jesus, there is an anti-Jesus type of thing going on now. Because they cannot see. The enemy has blinded their eyes to the love of Jesus. Because he doesn't want them to encounter this love. Because it's a freeing love. But Jesus has already given you his identity, his bloodline in his blood. And he has made you not guilty of sin. He has made you holy. He has made you pure. He has made you righteous and acceptable to God. Tell your neighbor, you are not guilty of sin anymore. God has made you holy. God has made you pure. God has made you righteous. And you are acceptable to God. You are acceptable to God. And here's a prayer that I want us to pray this morning. Let's all stand to our feet. And this is for us who may have, who kind of know something about all of this, but somehow, by our confession, we have put guilt on our lives. We have condemned ourselves somehow. I just want us to be free from that today. Is that okay? The moment we articulate it with our mouths, what we have believed in our hearts, but we have to confess it with our mouth. And that's what I want us to do today. Why? Because I want you to go guilt-free. I want you to go believing and knowing who you are in Christ. That you are holy, you are righteous, you are pure. There is no blemish. There's no condemnation because you're walking in the Spirit of God. You're not walking according to the flesh, but you're walking according to the Spirit of God. Let's pray this together. Say, Jesus, forgive me for condemning myself and thinking I'm not worthy of your grace and mercy. Forgive me for thinking less of me when you have paid it all for me. Forgive me for not accepting your holiness, your righteousness, your purity in my life. Forgive me. I confess it. Today, I choose to walk in the identity that I am pure, that I'm holy, that I'm righteous. There's no condemnation. There's no guilt. The enemy has no hold over my life. I'm free, and I walk in that freedom for which Jesus Christ has paid by shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary. My banner today is his righteousness in me. And I walk by faith, not by what I hear, not by what I see, not by what the world defines me, but I walk by the Word of God, that calls me and tells me that I am a saint of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Just take a moment to let that sink in. That declaration you just made. You're a good, good father. That's who you are. God cannot help his goodness. He cannot help it, but be good. That's who he is. That's his nature. That's his character. That's what flows out of God. Let's sing that. You're a good, good father.
Good, good father. It's who you are.
It's who you are.
It's who you are.
It's who you are, Jesus.
It's who you are.
And I know that you love me. And I know I love your love, Lord. I love you, Jesus. You made me like this, Jesus.
It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.